Moncrief on News Talk.
Two people who would never kill a cat, Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley.
Not knowingly, anyway.
Barbara would probably accuse me of trying to kill a cat.
I probably
though,
would. Know. I have held furry paws, though.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's generally how it ends. Yeah. You know, very few of them die of natural causes, except for one. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
One of our cats was called Tiger. She was elderly. We knew she wasn't well. We'd been to the vet. My thing is always, as long as she's happy and comfortable, grant. I don't want to extend her life just for the crack.
Yeah.
So we knew she was going downhill. The vet said to me, "You'll know when the time is right, Barbara, because, you know, you know cats. I'm a cat woman." And I said, "Yeah, I will." And I did. Came down one morning. Definitely Tiger was not good at all. So I made the appointment with the vet. They said, "Come down lunchtime because you'll be the last appointment. And then we can have a bit of time and you can, you know,
have a sandwich afterwards."
Yes, exactly. So I said, "Fine." So at the time, I put Tiger into the cat box. Nobody would come with me. Put her on the front seat of the car. Drove to the vet, was on my way to the vet talking to Tiger, "You're all right. You were such a good cat and we really loved you," and all the rest. And the next thing, she made a kind of a death rattle kind of thing. And I pulled in and she had died in the cat box.
Oh my God.
On the way to the vet.
Yeah.
But then I was left with a conundrum because I wasn't sure that she was definitely dead or had she just gone into some kind of a coma.
Yeah.
So I proceeded on to the vet. And you know when you walk into the veterinary waiting room and there's other people there waiting with their, and they go, "And who have you got in the cat box?" I went in glaring at everybody like, "Don't ask." And up to the receptionist going, "Sorry, I think the cat's actually dead. And she was. So I paid a couple of €100 for the vet to say, "Yes, she's dead."
Oh, you had to pay it anyway. Oh, gosh.
There you go. Yeah. That's why being a veterinary nurse is a well-paid job.
It is very expensive, vets nowadays.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Oh,
we were talking about that.
Yeah, ferocious.
Anyway, here's the first question. My mother remarried in my late teens, and the man she married has a son a few years older than me. We also got on well any time we had to see each other at the obligatory family events. We both live in Dublin, and on Paddy's Day, we bumped into each other in the pub. One thing led to another, and I ended up going home with him. Since then, we've gone on lots of dates. We even slept together when we were back down visiting our respective parents. The sex is great, and we get on brilliantly, but I haven't told anyone because I feel like it's a bit wrong and semi-incestuous. We haven't spoken about what are we, but it seems to be more than a fling. Should it end now before things go too serious? Is it weird?
Oh, God. I'd be fairly straight on this one and go, yeah, it is a bit weird. I mean, I know technically they're not related by blood, but they are related now by marriage. And, you know, even if you take out the kind of fact that, like, people might find it a bit odd, which, you know, you can argue whether it is or it isn't. But if it all goes, and the chances are it will, if it all goes pear-shaped, it's going to be awkward because you're entwined with this person.
What do you mean,
like,
the chances
anyway?
Are it will go pear-shaped? Well, what do you base that on?
Because most relationships end up going
all right, okay, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At some stage.
Very dark.
Very dark.
We shouldn't have started talking about poor Tiger.
Really.
Yeah, we should have.
It's all gone dark now,
Everything ends up with a trip to the vet.
With a trip to the vet. €300 later in your bank, look, I'd cut loose. I think this is not a great idea at all. Just because it is a bit weird. So, I wouldn't go there. And she's just said the sex is great and that's all grand. But, like, I'd cut and run before it gets any more involved.
I'd love to know how the parents would react if they told them.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because that's actually kind of at the crux of it though, isn't it? It's how weird it would be for the parents to go, you know, here's my toy.
And there's a parallel going on.
The one question I want to know, if they're members of a royal family, it might be okay in some way. There might be a way to.
That's true. Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah. Be a precedent.
That always ends well, doesn't it? Yeah.
But I mean, it's that weird thing. It's like, they're not biologically related, but they are kind of socially related.
Are,
and that's that
marriage,
kind of the weird bit of how that's going to go. And also, they kind of know. Because if
they're not stepbrother and sister, though, right? Because they don't have a common parent. Biologically.
Nah, I don't know. Could you say they are?
I don't know. Technically.
You could say they are,
I would say that. I would say there are people out there who would consider that to be a step-sibling relationship.
Yeah. Would they? Because I thought normally they had a parent. Do you know what I mean? Oh, no, yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. I'm very confused now. I don't know. are you
humming and hawing now?
I still think it's a bit weird. Emphatic. No, I just want the kind of the terminology right. But they would be stepbrother and sister then, so whatever that's
they are, they're not related, and I don't think they are technically, like, you know, on a genealogical tree. There'd be some kind of, you know, remove away from being step-siblings because they don't share, like, an actual biological parent. But they do share a family structure, and as that means, as you've already said, that means they'll share family events.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, it's all very well and good to kind of have a bit of a frisson, you know, and a bit of a, you know, sexy feelings about somebody who you're not related to, but doing something about it just muddies that water.
So they've already muddied the water now.
Yeah, and the reason why they're not being kind of open about it is because they kind of know. They kind of know it's... Yeah. Not that it's wrong, but it is awkward and...
Probably be handy for inheritance. Remember when Woody
Allen...
Oh, God, there's another row, yeah.
But maybe that's what's added.
Sorry, Woody Allen.
Yeah, yes. So remember when Woody Allen kind of ended up with that?
He married his daughter, didn't he?
We see, there you go.
The adopted daughter.
He didn't, but did he? And that's the whole point. And you know, so there's always going to be this kind of, you know, vibe around your relationship. So even if the relationship is something that you wanted to pursue... Even if your mum and dad of non-biological scenario said it was grand, other people would still go, that's weird. It's always going to be a kind of a vibe around your, you know.
And there's too much blurred lines, you know, as you say, with family events and stuff like that. Are you there as his wife? Or are you there as her daughter? Or
which side of the... Are you, you know, mother of the brother?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what's fueling this, you know.
I think it feels wrong, but it feels so right. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier on. I think that the impulse that got them into this mess in the first place is that it kind of felt a bit kind of forbidden fruit
But are you saying the same as I do, they should cut and run?
I just don't think it's the kind of thing that's going to work out.
Yeah,
because the reason why they're attracted to the situation isn't a pure kind of
long-term it's not a moral thing.
Wonder, does he look like his dad, and then does she look like the mom? Have they both got a type? Like,
well, they both. They both. You know what they say. You know, look at. You know, if you're marrying a woman, look at her mother, and vice versa.
That's true,
so they know that anyway.
Yeah.
One texter says they are not stepbrother and sister. However, how weird would it be for them if they met first and then their parents got together? If the shoe was in the on foot,
that
so
wouldn't
to speak.
Seem to be as weird, sure
wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't.
In my head, I'm going, yeah, but that wouldn't be that weird. That'd be kind of cute. That's a really good point.
Yeah, but you'd still be kind of, it was your parents.
What?
If I was going out with you and then we found out that our parents, I know stuff, I know. It's
you need to come up with a better example there, Douglas.
That's already ridiculous.
So I feel really uncomfortable already.
Yeah. Not half as uncomfortable as I'd be, I can tell you. Coming at me in your high heels and your big dress.
Where'd you get those shoes? Don't be so negative, says somebody else. Think of the savings when they marry.
There is that.
And
think about the drama at the reading of the will.
That's what I was saying.
Well,
about
if they're married, then,
but
you know, ka-ching.
That's a good idea for them. Like, that would be an advantage.
It's all great. Let that stepbrother and sister have at it. Who cares? All you need is love these days anyway.
Ah, that's lovely.
That is lovely.
That's lovely. It's not true, but it's lovely. Yeah.
That would be like if Greg and Marcia Brady got together.
Greg and Marcia. Oh, God, now not we're going
very
back.
Not very groovy.
God, we're going back.
We are, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be like the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch.
Because she said that they slept together when they were down, wherever it is they're from.
Yeah.
Meeting, visiting their respective... Like, where did they do this? And
in their parents' bedroom.
Was one of them sneaking in and sneaking out?
And that was always the kind of, like, the frisson of, like, with the Brady one.
It sounds like a soap opera, actually, doesn't it? It's the kind of thing that would happen in EastEnders, probably.
So you both are of the and she'd never tell the parents?
No, never tell anybody. Just forget it.
Yeah.
It'll come out someday when somebody's drunk, probably, but, don't.
Yeah, unless you're both willing to really own it and deal with all the consequences of it.
And there will be consequences.
You know, done deal.
Sorry. Sorry to dash your dreams. My husband gave up drinking about 3 months ago, and while he was never a heavy drinker, I was really proud of him. But now he's just taking things too far. He's thrown himself into a whole new lifestyle. Early mornings, hikes, retreats, our weekends that used to be about going to gigs, having dinner and a few drinks together, have completely changed. The problem isn't just the change in routine, it's his attitude. He started to look down on me for still enjoying a glass of wine on a night out, and I feel judged in my own home. It's like the person I used to relax and have fun with has disappeared and been replaced by someone who thinks he's better than me. I want to support him. I also feel like our relationship is suffering, and I'm being made to feel guilty for not following the same path. He's driving me mad. I don't know how our relationship will survive if he keeps his obsessive health buzz up.
Whoa. The line that jumps out of this the most is, I am being made to feel guilty. Which is like a mad construction of grammar to basically imply that this person's feeling of guilt has been caused by her husband's change in behaviour. Now, I would say that you have to separate his kind of change to his lifestyle from his attitude.
Okay.
I can only speak to, like, you know, his attitude from what the letter writer has said, that, you know, that he's being a bit kind of judgy and, you know, acting kind of holier than thou, because I've managed to kick the demon drink and now I'm having this fabulous new lifestyle where I'm kind of, you know, obsessively doing healthy things while you slob are still tucking into the Cabernet while you're watching Netflix, and that's a terrible thing. Now, if that is the case and there's this kind of judgment going towards it, you know, there's a reason for the person to be kind of horrified.
Yeah.
However, I think there's an element maybe of kind of watching somebody else make a kind of a positive change can be kind of triggering to you if you inherently know that that's a change that you would either like to do or should do, because you benefit from it. Because sometimes we make choices. I'm going to eat a pack of biscuits while I'm watching some stupid stuff on the television. I know it's not the healthiest thing to do, but I'm going to do it and I'll live with the consequences. We do stuff like that all of the time. Now, if somebody beside you is managing to not go near the fridge or the biscuit box while, you know, sharing an evening with you, that can feel a bit judgy, even though they're probably struggling with the same impulses as you are. Now, like, I've given up drink a couple of years now. I'm at home. My husband drinks wine.
Here he goes again.
And I'm
trying to tell this.
And I'm really judgy about
You're great, Declan. Yeah.
I can't believe
you're
drinking that wine.
And you look fabulous. Yeah.
But what I found is that people...
It freaks people out.
Other people are freaked out by the fact that I'm going out socially and I'm not drinking. Or I'm
That's kind of increasingly common now.
Bit of like, but there is a bit of kind of reverse judgment going on there.
Yeah, no, there is.
The judginess isn't coming from the person that's
given up,
decided to not buy a particular drink at the bar. Yeah. It's from everybody else attributing a whole load of kind of significance to that isn't actually there.
Yeah.
And that's the bit I think that's what jumped out to me, possibly because I'm reading out of my own life there.
I don't know if it's the drink so much as the exercise.
Oh, I think Declan is right on the drinking thing for sure. And I also think he's right on pointing out, is this woman actively being judged by her husband? Is he actively doing or saying something that is making her, because she says, I feel judged. She doesn't say, like, I am judged or he is judging
me
or he has said.
Feel guilty.
But yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of this is coming from herself.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's not so much his change of routine, but it what she perceives as his attitude, which I don't think is real. And I agree with you, because I did give up the drink for about 2.5 years in the middle of menopause when I was getting really bad migraines. And it freaks people out. They're very uncomfortable when you're not drinking and everybody else is drinking. And it also means then that you don't have that fake energy that drink gives you, so that you can stay out longer and, you know, be more cracked for longer. You kind of run out of steam a lot earlier and go, I'm going home now, I'm fed up.
Yeah. You do get to a point though where you do actually become judgy at the end of life.
Yeah, then
everybody else
you're
drunk
going home now.
And
yeah.
talking
stupid,
nonsense.
And you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you bail
I'm going,
out.
Bye, thank you very much.
But I do think it's a shame if, I mean, one of the things that she does mention, which I think is a shame, when she said that their weekends used to be going to gigs, having dinner and a few drinks, and it's all changed. So I think she's missing the companionship of the things they used to do.
Yeah.
And I think he is being a little bit obsessive if he has cut all of that out altogether, regardless of the drinking and all the rest of it. So I think if in that instance, Everything needs a balance, and it looks like the husband has gone out of balance. He's gone out of kilter, yeah, too far in one direction. And I think she's perfectly entitled. Park the judgy thing. But she's perfectly entitled to say, ah, here, can we go out for dinner some night? Even if he's not drinking, he has his fizzy water. Can we go out for dinner, or can we go to a gig, or some of the things that they used to enjoy together? I think that is reasonable. But I think the judgy thing is probably in her head rather than real.
But you know, like when people suddenly take like middle-aged men in Lycra and all that stuff.
Are you pointing at me?
No, no, I was gesturing towards the sky.
I'm thinking about being Lycra.
No, but you know the way that, like, you know, they're cycling or they're, yeah, like, and yeah, they can be a real pain in the hoop because it's the zeal of the converted.
Yeah.
And it can be judgy. And they think everybody's tremendously impressed with the fact that they can run whatever the hell they can run.
You know? I think though sometimes, because I know for myself, is that when I was, you know, when I started not drinking, if that makes sense, you just don't want to put yourself in a situation where, you know, everybody's drinking around you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or whether it's smoking, whatever, or even eating.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, if there's something you don't want to do, sometimes you have to protect yourself by removing yourself from the temptation or whatever it is. And I think that sometimes in doing that, you can build up these walls of temptation that create whole different behaviours. Or you get really into something, because there is definitely an endorphin kick about fitness. You're in the gym, you know. There's a lot of stuff.
Is that something
that's a different kind of addiction.
That endorphin thing that you're talking about, will that kind of burn itself out after a while? Will you get used to just being fit and going to the gym and stop being kind of perhaps a little bit overboard about it?
I can only speak for myself, is that I know that, you know, I'm very physical performer,
and
dancing and all that kind of stuff rushes the chemicals through your body. And, you know, it's something that you really get addicted to. The adrenaline of that is something that you mightn't be aware that you're addicted to.
Yeah.
A lot of people get really into, they go cycling up the mountains or they go running on these big mad marathons. And it's all to do with the same thing. It's just a different form of a drug, really. It's an internally produced one, but... And the wife is completely right to say, "I hear," because you just swapped one form of a kind of a, you know, a buzz for a different form of, but it's still just a buzz. You don't
and
have a right to avoid
her
all
out,
the
like
other.
They shared activities that now she's missing.
Exactly.
And I think that is the point of her letter, where I would say she's right to sit down, have a chat with him and try and inject some kind of balance into it. He can still go up the mountain and do his gym or whatever he's doing and give up his drink. But I think he's got to go back to them sharing some activities together.
Tell that woman her husband is a bollocks. middle-aged man in Lycra. On your mind giving up the booze, I'm a recovering alcoholic, 28 years, a day at a time. I love my partner and son enjoying a jar or two. I'm the one with the problem, not them.
Yeah.
I love gigs, meals out, etc., says Shane. Now, though, again, as she says, this fella wasn't a heavy drinker. He sounds like a nightmare. Is he having an affair with a skinny 20-year-old hottie, othering her as wife, midlife crisis on steroids? Never trust a person that doesn't drink going to the pub. They're just there for gossip. Somebody else says smugness is one of the only benefits to giving up booze. Don't take that away from them. It's quite something, isn't it? If that couple met now, they probably wouldn't get together as they have completely different interests.
Oh, God, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Gosh.
But I don't understand, like the first guy who said who's the recovering alcoholic, like just because you have given up drink doesn't mean you can't go out for dinner or you can't go to a gig.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bottom line here, that he's thrown
the
baby out of the bathwater.
Sometimes people build up the walls. And in doing so, they kind of keep other people on the other side of them. And I think that's part of the actual effort, whether it's from an alcoholic or whether it's just a social perspective, that you have to be aware that the choices that you're making for yourself and your body still impact on and interact with other people.
The other thing is, she could also go and join him for a walk or a hike or something like that. Do you know?
Well, she's probably usually drunk at that time.
Yeah.
It's insufferable when people become gym bores. Says another texter. So
everything is boring.
No, but I know he wasn't a heavy drinker, but he sounds like perhaps he has that personality, that kind of slightly addictive personality.
Yeah,
you know, it's
like,
all in kind of stuff.
And if you are like that, I mean, unfortunately, that's who you are, and everybody else has to kind of deal with that.
Yeah.
But you, it's about the choices that you make, and is it better that he's addicted to running and cycling, whatever he's doing, as opposed to, you know, binging on something else?
Yeah.
Because, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Mm. I've always had a really happy and fulfilling sex life with my husband, so this has caught me a bit off guard. Recently, I suggested introducing a few sex toys into our relationship.
Uh-oh.
Nothing extreme, just something to add a bit of variety and fun. Since then, his reaction has been strange. He's become quite cagey and even a bit prudish, which is completely unlike him. It almost feels like he's threatened or even a bit jealous, as if my suggestion means he's somehow not enough. I've tried to reassure him that this isn't about replacing anything, just enhancing what we already have. But he seems uncomfortable and shuts the conversation down whenever I bring it up. This is a pun fest for the rest of this question.
Yes.
It's starting to create an awkwardness between us that was never there before. I'm wondering if other people have experienced this kind of reaction, and if so, how have they handled it?
Do you want to go first? I have no experience of this at all. No, the most we ever tried to get into was a bit of sexting, and that ended in disaster. So I have no experience.
Yeah. Oh, no, not like, oh, no, I didn't send that to you kind of scenario.
No, because I forgot. No, I thought. Do you want another story?
Yeah, I feel really uncomfortable, Barbara.
No, I thought, like this woman, I thought, yeah, you know, add a little bit of something a bit different. You know the way we've been together feckin' 30 years. And I thought, yeah, and like I wouldn't be one for the sex toys things and all that. I'd be a little weirded out by all that. So I thought, we'll do a bit of sexting. A friend of mine said it, that she did stun it with her husband. She said it was great. It really kind of added a frisson. So I thought, Grant, we were sitting on the sofa one night watching the Bake Off. He's on one end and I'm on the other. And I thought,
I was in the same room as you.
Yeah, we were in the same room. I thought, you know, I feel a bit fruity. Maybe I'll send him a sexy text message. Yeah. He'll go, you know. So I sent him a really filthy, dirty text message. Now I'm always on my phone, so that didn't alert him, me typing away my phone. Press send. His phone at the other end of the sofa went bing. This was about 8 o'clock night, half eight at night. And so he picks, he says to me, who the hell is texting me at this hour of the night? All groupie. And then the second thing he did was he picked up the phone and he did the whole bringing it in and bringing it out and bringing it in and bringing it out because he couldn't bloody see it. And he said, here, you read it. Oh. I haven't got my glasses. So it crashed and burned.
Okay. Did you read it out to him?
No, I didn't. I told him to go and flip off. I said, sexy time, off the agenda, forget it. And that was the end of that. So I'm no use to this woman at all.
Yeah.
Off you go, Declan. You're probably way much more used to all this than I am.
I don't know why you're saying that, Barbara, but it won't be the first time you've made an assumption about me. But, you know, I'm used to it. Look, I suppose there's a couple of things about this. One is that, obviously, her reasoning. What is the actual reasoning? Is it that she's just saying she wants I want to do something different?
Yeah.
Or is it that she's saying that in the course of the normal, you know, day to day, you know, sexy time, that it's just not fulfilling? Because the two of those things are separate. They're different things.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If she's not getting the full kind of vibe or the full kind of feeling out of their time together, that's one conversation. If it's just, I want to do something different because, you know, like the way you described it was we're together for a long time.
Yeah.
Just trying to do something a little bit kind of fun or silly. If it's the fun or silly thing, she's kind of already messed that up because his reaction is to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So that's a miscommunication where he's going, what are you talking? Oh, no. Now he's kind of lying in the bed, kind of furtively uncomfortable, wondering whether you have something in the bed.
Yeah.
You're ready to
What's that
surprise
him
with, what is that noise? Oh, God. What is it? which, you know, never mind the consent side. That's just kind of worrying. Yeah. But the other side of it is like, you go, well, he's going, well, why? What is it for? Because are you saying that I'm not enough?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of undermined in some way. And also... confused by what it is that is actually being
is the issue
for.
Or is the need?
So I think that's the bit that you know she needs to go back to the stage one and start the conversation all over again. Explain what her reasoning is, and it's all right if she's saying that she's not getting the full feeling from their time together. That's also completely fine conversation, but it needs to be quite explicit.
Yeah. But she says always had a really happy and fulfilling sex life. Then why are you out buying products?
Yeah, I mean, you know. That's kind of what that is in a nutshell, isn't it?
So,
because I want to do something different. You know, why do we always go to Malaga on our holidays? Why can't we go somewhere else? I've always had a lovely time in Malaga, but I just want to go somewhere else. It's simple.
But isn't the thing again here, as you said, a miscommunication?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the fact that they haven't been able to have, and I think this is a really Irish thing. I think we all are, you know, kind of mad in the head when it comes to talking about sex because we all grew up in a weird country. Yeah. But I think obviously they haven't had an in-depth conversation about their sex life.
Yeah.
Her, from the point of view of wanting to do something maybe a little bit different or add a little bit of extra, you know, kind of whatever. And him obviously being very uncomfortable with the whole, I don't know if is he uncomfortable with the conversation or is he uncomfortable with the actual idea of the sex toys? Or is he just not too sure what does she mean or what does she, I mean, they just need to sit down and have a real frank conversation, I would imagine.
I think that sometimes the conversation needs to start with yourself as well, though, because it's one of those things that in order to understand what it is that you want out of intimacy with somebody else, you have to kind of work out what it is that rocks your boat. Mm. Like you described a situation and your texting story.
Sexting.
Sexting, writing a book, whatever you were doing, Barbara. whatever you were doing, you deliberately went for a form of erotic behaviour that worked for you, which is words, and it was in your mind.
Joined in the radio now, and I was wondering, what kind of erotic behaviour was Barbara engaging in a few minutes ago?
Live on air.
Yeah. It's shocking. Because I'm now going out with Declan, apparently, as he said earlier,
in advance of their wedding.
But you know, that was kind of a cerebral. It's kind of in your head, as opposed to now getting a physical machine and touching your body with it. They're two different kind of, you know, approaches to kind of, you know, to doing something different. And I think that people react different ways to different things, and maybe he's not into the kind of.
And we've often said before, if you're not into it, then you can't expect somebody to do something that they're not into, if you know what I mean. He's quite entitled to say, no, that's not going to do it for me.
Well, he also will ask why.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the bit he's not, you know. And some people aren't very good at putting into words what they want.
Yes, that is true.
Because they want something that's not in words. It's just a feeling.
Yeah. Steve says, I'm Barbara's age, male. Obviously, Steve. We have been using them for 35 plus years.
Using what, Steve?
Sex toys.
Oh, right. Okay, good.
Wife loves them and takes away any pressure on me. It's great.
Okay,
he says.
Good. Come on, Steve.
Somebody else says, exactly why does she want toys? You're just looking for sex tips now. We're not in a position to do that. Somebody else thinks your husband thinks you're having an affair. No other option left now than a divorce.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. I don't think so. She's not having an affair. No,
he's not.
But I do think, though, that it's kind of shifted the relationship into a weird phase in terms of communication, because they have to find a way to
talk
get
about
through this.
This
conversation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You can't go back. That box is open.
Yeah. No. Literally, if she's actually, if they if they've arrived,
that's
in,
so
the,
good.
If they've
so
arrived
in
the post, so subtle.
Yeah, I
Barbara,
didn't mean that.
Yeah, I'm leaving. Yeah.
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.